Reformed Church.
So good. God loves you so much. Love you so much. You're very, very special to the Lord, right? He paid a whole lot for you. All he got was you, so he paid a whole lot for you. And to fix everything that was going wrong and all your hurts and stuff and all that, Jesus paid a very high price for you. He loves you a whole lot. And again, those words, the Lord loves you, aren't worth anything if we're not backing that up with what Jesus did. It's not worth anything. You know, a lot of people, I grew up even hearing about God loves me. But you know what? The funny thing is, I never felt so loved by God, not when I read God loves me, but when I started seeing what Jesus did for me. Someone don't even have to tell you that God loves you. If you just see what Jesus did and it's being taught correctly, you're going to feel loved. You can't help but feel loved and feel special that God would do all of that for you when he didn't have to. Another really awesome thing, just a really beautiful thing, just to show the love of God. Let me tell you this too, just sort of a side note. I taught something a while ago called True Apologetics. There were some things even in that message series that I claimed even at the time. I said, you know, I'm still kind of growing in this, and this is sort of just my opinion here. And so I actually, when I teach that next, I will be able to teach it a lot clearer. The Lord has taught me a lot of stuff about that since then. But nevertheless, the point is that there are so many things, you know, when people even ask you about, like, why do you believe in Jesus? I mean, truthfully, the bottom line really is that, you know, it's by revelation of the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, the Holy Spirit will, when you're an unbeliever, okay, specifically when you're an unbeliever, the Holy Spirit will convict you inside and let you know, like, man, I need this. Like, he will let you know. Conviction doesn't mean making you nauseous, right? But again, this is specifically for an unbeliever. The Holy Spirit will just reveal on the inside that this is not right. Like, what I'm doing right now, the way I'm living right now, like, this is not what God meant for me. Like, God, living in hurt, living and dying like a man, this is like God has something better for me. The Holy Spirit will show you that. So ultimately, it is the revelation of the Holy Spirit that saves people. But from a biblical standpoint and historical standpoint as well, I mean, like, God, through the Old Testament, has been saying that Jesus was coming for so long. And I think we take it for granted, even the gospel that we're hearing today, and you hear it today and sort of think, like, maybe Christianity and stuff is like a, I don't know, it's like a new thing, or maybe somebody just made that up at some point, or, you know, it's kind of like any other, like, religion, which is, you know, it's not a religion. It's just, I mean, do you call, when you learn science in school, as long as it's good science, right, when you talk about, like, the law of gravity or laws of physics or things like that, do you call that a religion? No, of course, it's just a fact, right? It's like a real thing that happened. You know, you can't see gravity, right? You know, like, well, it's a scientific thing, right? It's not a religion. Religions are, you know, tenets and stuff that people make up over time to explain things. But the things that we're teaching you, these are just actual, like, real facts, right? These are actual facts of things that have happened. And again, in the True Apologetics series, I actually go over prophecies from the Bible that God has been saying that Jesus is coming for so long, and just so that we would know that when he came, like, we would be able to recognize him when he came. And even things today, I go over in that series, even things that have happened today that you see going on today are markers of the fact that Jesus has already come. The Bible literally says thousands and thousands of years ago, and even thousands of years before Jesus even came, that when you see these particular things happen, that means that Jesus already came and was raised from the dead. And there are things that you're seeing now that are happening that God said, when that happens, that means that, for instance, the Bible says I'll just give you a real brief thing on this, but the Bible says that when you see a man that the Jews, generally speaking, the Bible says there's always a remnant, but when the Jews, generally speaking, reject him as the Messiah, but the Gentiles receive him, that's your guy. And it's funny, right? Like, isn't it an amazing thing that Jesus, there's been a lot of fake messiahs that have come amongst the Jewish people, but there's nobody that has been believed upon like Jesus has been amongst the Gentiles and yet generally rejected by the Jews. That literally is one of the things that God says, well, when you see the Gentiles receive, I mean, like, the whole, just going back a few years ago, it seems like the whole Western world almost, you know, it was just like a, it was almost common knowledge. Like, yeah, you believe in Jesus. Like, that's just like a thing that we do. Granted, it was in a lot of ways teaching Jesus wrong, but it was still like a belief in Jesus. And so there's a lot of that. One of those prophecies, though, that I go over very briefly there, that really, again, just shows the character and love of God for us is like the David and Goliath account, the David and Goliath timeline. David represents, I'm not going to go through, usually I go through like all the stuff and I go through the symbols with you and refer to the glossary. Obviously, I'm not going to do that right now. I only have a few minutes to share this. But you know, I've been thinking about it recently, so I just want to share it, that David represents Jesus in the Bible. There's a lot of verses for that. Just because I have it up, I might as well throw a reference out at you. But you know, there are references that refer to Jesus, the Messiah. Isaiah 55, 3 through 5, Ezekiel 34, 23 through 25, Ezekiel 37, 24 through 25. Those are, you can just play that back on the message later on to get those references. But those are just different. Isaiah 55 in particular refers to Jesus as David. David is actually a name for Jesus in the Bible. David being a shepherd and king, and anyway, that's a thing. But anyhow, when David comes to his brothers, one of the prophecies that shows that Jesus is the Messiah is that Jesus is prophesied that when he would come to his brethren, that they would reject him, and that would be a sign of the Messiah, would be that the people that he came to would reject him. And that's actually what we see today. We see the Jews, religious Jews, don't believe in Jesus, generally speaking, as the Messiah. And that's what we see. The very people that he came to are the people that rejected him. And the very people that he didn't come to, being the Gentiles at the time, are the people that ended up believing him. That's seen in the Joseph timeline, which we went through, but also David was sent to his brothers. And Jesse sent David to his brothers. I believe the Bible even says that David went down to his brothers, which is interesting, right? Because David represents Jesus, and Jesus went down to his Jewish brethren, right, from heaven, went to his brothers. And when he got to his brothers mocked him, and they accused him of evil motive. And that's actually what the Jews did to Jesus when he came down to them. And but anyhow, there was a, you know, Goliath, a man from the Philistine army that would come each day and disgrace Israel. And Goliath represents the devil. Actually, the way that the Bible describes Goliath's armor, it parallels to the way that Job describes Leviathan and Leviathan's scales. Leviathan is a name for the devil. He's like, because Leviathan is like a sea serpent in the Bible. And the devil, the creature that the devil is, not that he took the form of in the garden, but the creature that the devil is called a serpent. That's the name of the creature, like the spiritual being that he is. He is a serpent. Right? He didn't take the form of a serpent. The Bible doesn't say that. He is a serpent. Demons are called serpents and scorpions and even like moles and bats and things like that in the Bible. Okay, so that's nothing new. The Bible, Jesus said that he gave us authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and that, not because they're taking the form of scorpions. Anyhow, so Goliath actually parallels the way that he describes Leviathan in his armor, and it talks about the flame of his spear, like kind of a fiery dart kind of concept, if you read a literal translation of the passage. But anyhow, Goliath came and disgraced Israel every day, and that was a picture of the devil as the accuser of the brethren. That's actually what he did in the Old Testament. He disgraced Israel every day. It was his job under the law, because the law was run by angels, and the lawyer of the law, at least one of them, was the devil. And he came, even the word Satan means accuser. It was his title. He's the accuser. And so he would accuse Israel, and that's symbolized by the fact that every day Goliath came and it literally says disgraced Israel. And so David came down to his brethren, though, and even though his brethren rejected him, his Jewish brethren rejected him, right, which is what we see today in Jesus. It's funny, right? The Jews don't believe Jesus because they say, well, he's not really the Messiah, but the fact that they don't believe in him is the credit to him that he is the Messiah, right? It's kind of an ironic thing, right? Like, if you come in contact with a Jewish person, don't say this out and out, but if you get an opportunity, you just say, oh, do you believe in Jesus? No. Like, well, that means, you know, that's actually an evidence of him being the Messiah. Did you know that? But anyhow, listen to the True Apologetics series for that. But anyhow, so David comes down to his brethren. He sees that Goliath is disgracing them. And it's amazing, the guilt trip that we believe that God even puts us through, right? And the quote-unquote conviction that we believe the Holy Spirit is giving us on the inside and making us feel guilty. And if you feel bad for what you did, then that's a good thing. Even though Jesus already felt bad for what you did, obviously, for some reason in the church, we also need to feel bad for what we did. And don't get me wrong, one should feel bad for what one does. As believers, the problem is that Jesus already felt bad for what we've done. It's not like bad should not be felt over what we do. That, don't ever get that. It's not that shame shouldn't be felt, that bad shouldn't be felt, and evil should not come upon sin. It's just the fact that Jesus did that for us so he can maintain justice and love you. Okay? So that's gone. That's gone. That's not a thing anymore. There is no shame and there is no guilt anymore. And no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Funny though, the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and God kicked him out. You read Revelation 12, that's not talking about some thing that happened in the book of Genesis or something. When you read Revelation 12, that's talking about something that happened at the time of Christ, that the devil, the accuser of the brethren, was thrown out of heaven because there was no more place found for him. Because what place is there for an accuser to bring guilt, shame, or punishment on people when guilt, shame, and punishment has already been fulfilled in the body of Jesus? So you're out of a job, he was kicked out. We actually have a picture in the lesson that we teach your kids, which is an awesome thing that your kids are being taught this, that the accuser was thrown out. I think we call him a tattletale, right? But you see, I think it's God, you see with his foot like this, and you see the devil kind of like going, oh, like he got kicked in the butt out of heaven. And anyway, that's what happened. And to symbolize the fact that Jesus came and died to silence our accuser. You see, God is not accusing you. God is not judging you, and it's not because sin doesn't need to be judged. It's just God's not judging you because he did it a different way so that he could just love you and lavish you with blessings and give you good. That's why God did it. But to symbolize the fact, to prophesy, really. Remember, this is the book of, what is this, 1 Samuel. If you want to read the account, it's 1 Samuel 17. So to symbolize the fact that Jesus would come and die for us, to bear judgment, to silence our accuser, and to defeat the devil, which was our accuser, David goes to his brethren receive him not. Okay, so that's one thing that's a mark of the Messiah. But then you know that David takes it upon himself to defeat Goliath, the accuser of Israel. So he goes and gets 5 smooth stones, right? When he does that, he puts them in a bundle, like a pouch, right, in his bag. He has a slingshot, and he goes to Goliath. Now, if you can just get queued up back there, if you can throw on the screen 1 Samuel 25, 29. 1 Samuel 25, 29. This is Abigail speaking to David much later on, after David already defeated Goliath and everything. Abigail was a godly woman. I so encourage you to get a woman like Abigail. If you're a man, or get a man that talks like this, because that's the one that God has for you. Abigail actually stopped David from doing something that was just ungodly and encouraged David to trust the Lord instead. And in regard to Nabal, and Abigail ended up becoming his wife. But that's a woman. When I read that, I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's the mate that you want. It's someone that's going to stop you from doing stupid stuff and thinking stupid. And when you're thinking dumb, and they're going to say, you know what? No. You trust the Lord, because this is what the Lord did for you. And she corrected him out and out, and she did it really tactfully too. She like blessed him, but was like correcting him, but like didn't do it in a mean way. It was just like she didn't tear him down. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're correcting your mate, don't tear him down. Encourage him, right? You could correct the thinking, but just encourage them, you know, because nobody needs to be torn down. The gospel is something that's supposed to, you know, to encourage us and to edify us. So 1 Samuel 25, 29, she actually here literally unlocks several symbols from the David and Goliath timeline. It says, yet a man is risen to pursue you. This is Abigail speaking to David about actually her husband at the time, Nabal, who was a foolish man. And had risen. I'm incorrect. That is the topic of the conversation. But this particular man she's talking about right now is talking about Saul. Saul was pursuing David. But the topic of the conversation is her husband Nabal. This is, yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your soul, but the soul of my Lord, she's referring to David, the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life. She calls life the bundle of life. The living she refers to as being in a bundle of life. Keep that in mind. He says, my Lord, David, would be bound in the bundle of life. Despite the fact there was people pursuing him to kill him, she said, my Lord will be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. So the Lord's in the bundle, and we're in the bundle with him, right? The bundle of life. And he's saying, the Lord is going to preserve your life. Man, I'm telling you, that's a blessing for people here too. You're going to see miracles in your life, and we're going to be around till the Lord comes back. But I'm telling you what, that's a fact. But man, what a great promise that you be bound in the bundle of life. And that's what she's telling David. With the Lord your God. Us and the Father and Jesus all bound in the bundle of life. And it says, and the souls of your enemies, them shall he sling out of the bundle of life, as out of the middle of a sling. So here's the thing. She describes the bundle as being the bundle of life. See, this is how you interpret symbols in the Bible, like this. She says the bundle is the bundle of life, and being slung out of it, as with a sling, is referring to the death of, in this context, David's enemies. You say, no, and he won't allow those to live that rise up to pursue your life. That's vengeance. You know, we have stuff online about that too. So you kind of get what she's saying, right? That the bundle, again, represents life, and then it's being slung out of the bundle of life is like you died, right? Like you're not amongst the living anymore. Well, also you got to know that the word stone, that's on our gloss. The word stone refers to dead people, basically. Someone that's dead. There's more to it than that, but this, you can look at our glossary for more. And so, how awesome is this, man? How awesome is this? Sometimes people think that because Jesus was crucified, that also is a discredit to him being the Messiah. Dude, this is like thousands of years ago. It's so, so awesome that the fact that he died is credit to him being the Messiah. The fact that the Jews rejected him is credit to him being the Messiah. David, which is a name in the verse I just gave you, is a name for Jesus as the Messiah. The Bible said that he would send David and put one shepherd over his people. It's really awesome stuff. And David comes to his brethren. His brethren mock him. The fact that Jesus' brethren mocked him is credit to him being the Messiah. And then in order to throw down the accuser of Israel, Goliath in symbol, but obviously representing the devil, David picks up five stones. I don't know what the number five means, but I'm sure there's something significant with that. He puts them in the bundle, though. Okay? He puts them in a bundle. And then he takes one of them out, okay? But takes one what? He takes a stone out of the bundle and slings it. What did Abigail say that represents? Death, right? She was applying it to David's enemies, but it's a symbol of death. That, listen to this, that in order to throw down the accuser of Israel, the very people that rejected Jesus and mocked him when he came down to them from his father, to actually bring them, David was sent to bring them, I think it says victuals, which means like supplies, and to bring them, I think, even bread. Came to bring them provision, and they mocked him. But even for those very people, Jesus went to fight Goliath. And how did Jesus defeat our accuser, the accuser who stood before God day and night, bad-mouthing all of us, bad-mouthing people? Well, he took a stone out of the bundle of life and slung it. That's death. That stone also represents Jesus. And it was through Jesus' death. It was through Jesus. It was through David being taken out of the bundle of life and being slung that it crushed the serpent's head. That's prophesied. The defeat of the devil is prophesied as a crushing of his head in the book of Genesis. The Bible says that the woman's seed would crush the serpent's head. That's actually a prophecy of the virgin birth. Because it doesn't say that Adam's seed, because Jesus didn't come through the lineage of Adam. He was just implanted in Mary by the Holy Spirit. That's why it says the woman's seed. Obviously, women don't have seed, right? So, but that's why it said the woman's seed, because it's a seed that wouldn't come through the lineage of a man, virgin birth, right? And that the woman's seed would crush the serpent's head. And what do you see? It was through Jesus' death. It was through David taking a stone out of the bundle of the living, meaning himself, because Jesus took himself out of the bundle of the living and slung himself out of the bundle of the living, dying for all of us, fulfilling our judgment, fulfilling our death. That's why people don't have to die anymore. That's why people can get well now. That's why you can be healed now. Because David slung himself out of the bundle of the living, which crushed Goliath's head. It actually says it sunk into his head, and Goliath fell on his face, where? To the earth. And when Jesus died and bore all our judgment and all our guilt and all the problems of this world, right? When he bore that, there was no more place found in heaven for the devil, our accuser, who disgraced Israel night and day. His head was crushed. He fell on his face to the earth. And actually, that's where the devil was cast, to the earth and to the sea. And that's why Goliath is said to have fallen to the earth after David crushes his head with the stone that he slung out of the bundle of the living. just honestly, it's just awesome, beautiful stuff. Not only does this substantiate you and confirm you that you're not believing stupid, foolish things. You're not just someone that caught on to a religion somehow and we're here today just because, no, this is a Holy Spirit thing. It's something that God, who is an invisible God, but has been talking about this for a very, very long time, has fulfilled his word in sending Jesus Christ, the witness of the apostles, witness this exact thing, and the things that we're seeing today, the rejection of the Jews, which will soon be acceptance of the Jews, but the rejection of the Jews, of their brother, and him having gone on to be slung out of the bundle of the living, and in doing so would crush Goliath's head. These are all prophecies of Jesus, which again, things that we have from the witness of the apostles and things that we're seeing today confirm the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, and he really did what he did for you so that nobody would be bad-mouthing you in heaven. Even for people that aren't saved, God doesn't want people in heaven bad-mouthing you. God loves you so much. God's not the one bad-mouthing you. He's not the one gossiping you, talking to the angels about something that you did. He actually, for believers, you have to believe to receive this, but he's actually wiped out the remembrance of all your sin from before him. All the records in heaven, there is no record in heaven that you've ever done anything wrong. God did that for you, and he did not have to do that. And even if he did it, he didn't have to go that far. But he did everything for you and gave you everything he has. And he threw down your enemies, and all that was because him as the stone was slung out of the bundle of the living for you. And you do not have to be slung out of the bundle of living, but now, like Abigail said to David, you can be kept now in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. You can live. Pastor Jay just taught that message. You've been promised life. God has given you life as a believer, promised you life. But you need to keep your eyes on Jesus, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformedchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformedchurch.com.